Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join out on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Filling in for Brian this morning is Scott Beatty.
And a happy Tuesday morning to you, everybody. Good morning. I'm Scott Beatty and glad to be with you, filling in for Brian on this spring break. Brian getting some time off, and I'm happy to be along with you. We're here for 2 hours till 11 o'clock. And as always, you are welcome to join the program, as you heard Gene say there, on the phone, 356-9397. And you can text us in the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Here in the first hour, by and large, and open line, so we can go any direction you want. And of course, today is Election Day. We are going to check in just for a few moments with Gordy Holton, and I know he was on the morning show with Dave and Elizabeth a little while ago, but we'll catch up with him and see if there's any updates here and what's going on in the polling places. A reminder, if you haven't voted yet in this primary and you need a ride, it's free bus service all day today from the MTD. They'll get you to your polling place. So you can get on out there for free. At a texter this morning, Benny, saying voting should be everyone's civic duty. If you don't go vote, you have nothing to complain about. And certainly we do have the right to participate in our government and in our democracy. So good words there from Benny. And by and large, it looks like a lot of early voting is happening today, or has already happened. Not sure what's behind that. Maybe it's spring break and some of the students and folks in town getting their votes in before they left town. Maybe it's the interest, especially in the Democratic side here in for a midterm election cycle. See how this all shakes out. We'll see if this is indicative of more people overall voting or just more people voting early. It seems like there's more options in all that as well. Plenty of news items to take us all over the place today. We've got Trump and the latest firing there in McCabe from the FBI. Trump yesterday, President Trump, wanting to get tough on opioid traffickers, even suggesting the death penalty for them. We can get into all that. Any of the election issues that you want to talk about, certainly open season, and anything more lighthearted that you want to let us know about, you can as well. Do have a caller waiting to get the word out about something. That's Bill on the line. And Bill, good morning.
Good morning to you, and thanks for having me. My name is Bill Hinch, and I'm representing Countryside United Methodist Church, and that's located on 1807 County Road 1000 N, which is halfway between Sydney and Philo. And this Saturday, between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m., we're going to be hosting our large flea market and silent auction. And we got a lot of things out there every year. We think we don't have enough, and this year I can tell you there is plenty out there for everybody. We got household, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom, and glassware and furniture, and a lot of other things for sale, and then the silent auction takes place throughout the day. And but the new hours are from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
All right, so this is Countryside United Methodist, and again, the time and date?
It is this Saturday, March 24th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we're located halfway between Sydney and Philo. And there's plenty of food there, too, by the way, and clothes and books and bakery sweets and a children's store and biscuits and gravy in the morning and butterfly pork chops in the afternoon. So
sounds delicious.
I want to welcome everybody there that come out and have a good time. Plenty of parking. And I don't know right here where the proceeds are going this year. Would you like to hear that?
Well, I got to keep moving, but certainly appreciate you getting the word out.
Okay, yeah, the proceeds is not going to go to the church. It's got three things that we're going to give it to. So anyway, appreciate you having me, and welcome everybody there. Like I said, plenty of parking, and we're hoping for a good day, and we welcome everybody to come on out.
All right. Thanks much, Bill.
Okay, thank you.
Penny, for your thoughts, and you're certainly welcome to weigh in here on an open line for the first hour. In the second hour, Bruce Knight will join us from the city of Champaign. I assume he'll just walk up a block from the city building, and we'll get the latest on what could be happening in the city. Neal Street Corridor is on the docket for the future development. Also, this talk of the development at the Illinois Terminal with a possible arena as well. And you can, he said he'll take calls, so if you've got questions about anything related to the city of Champaign and its future in terms of development and plans, you can certainly call in and or text in on whatever you like. All right, Gordy Holton is Champaign County Clerk, and he has stopped by here for an Election Day update. I don't know if there's much that's changed since you were on our airwaves a little while ago with Dave and Elizabeth, Gordy, but I appreciate you stopping in. How are things running?
Things honestly look a little bit slow out there. So if you haven't voted yet, you can go to just about any voting location in the county. There'll be no lines. You can be in and out as quickly as you can fill in your ballot.
Has there been any troublesome spots today?
Oh, we have the normal tabulator issue here and there. Our tabulators are teenagers now, as I like to say, which means they're getting a little temperamental. but we have procedures in place. If you have to put a ballot in an emergency bin temporarily, your election judges will get that tabulated before they bring us results tonight. You know, we may have to replace a tabulator here and there because they are getting to be 12, 14, 16 years old. So,
the early voting numbers are up, particularly on the Democrat side for this primary. I know you kind of feel like, well, it remains to be seen why that is the case, but is early voting more accessible than it was 4 years ago in the last primary?
Oh, yeah.
Midterm primary, that is.
Yeah, we continue to make it more accessible. We run 9 locations for a countywide election like this one, and I like to say that Champaign County voters have greater access to early voting than any other voters in the state of Illinois. And I make that claim based on the number of locations that we run, for the number of days that we run them, for the number of registered voters that we have. All of our research has shown that once somebody votes early, or if they vote by mail, they very rarely go back to being traditional Election Day voters. And we had so many people, over 40,000 of them, vote early and vote by mail for the presidential election, the big one we had in 2016, that I think what we're seeing is people who were going to vote in this primary election anyway, instead of voting on Election Day, they voted earlier, voted by mail, and that's pushed our numbers to 10,000-plus pre-election votes cast already in Champaign County.
Gordy Holton with us for just a few minutes. I know your election days are always busy. What is the day after an election? What's tomorrow morning like for you?
The sleep that you get on Wednesday night after a Tuesday election is the best sleep that you'll ever get. You know, tomorrow morning we'll start early as well because there are a lot of folks that want me to make an appearance at a TV station or a radio station. So I do a lot of media the day after the election as well. So this morning I was up at 3 after maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And tonight, hopefully, if we're done by 10 or 11 o'clock, I'll be able to get a couple of hours of sleep before being back on the road tomorrow by 5.
And maybe with fewer votes, less to tabulate, it's not as late of a night as it would be for a presidential cycle or even this coming November.
Honestly, the time that it takes us to count the votes isn't related to how many votes there are necessarily. It's related to whether or not there are write-in races. Write-in races have to be counted by the election judges by hand at each of the voting locations. And for this election, there are write-in candidates on every ballot in the county. And so it will be a little bit of a slower night tonight, even if we only have 15,000 people vote today. We still have to count all those write-in votes by hand.
And on the note of write-in, you obviously as a voter are permitted to write anybody you want in as a write-in candidate, but they don't all get counted if they're not bona fide. You know, so if I put down Brad Underwood for, whatever.
President of the United States.
Yeah, or, one of the Democratic races today, like, that's not going to count, right?
Right.
Somebody what happens to that ballot?
Well, the rest of the votes count on that ballot, but in that particular race, if you fill in the oval, for example, in the 4th Appellate District on the Republican side and you write in Gordy Holton, I'm not running as a write-in candidate in that race. There is a write-in candidate running. You must fill in something closely approximating their name so the judges know what you intended, and then the judges will actually hand count that vote.
Spelling doesn't count, but it has to be clear what you intended.
We train our judges to try and determine the intent of the voter. If they can determine what the voter intended, then it doesn't matter if you're a letter off here or there.
Have you ever been in a case where there's been enough write-in votes and there you have to really look at, in other words, it things hung in the balance whether or not those write-in votes were clear?
Oh, yeah, especially in the odd year elections. When we have the local races, we have a lot more write-in candidates because we have a lot more races. And we had a write-in race in one of the township races in 2017 where the write-in candidate came within a vote or two of winning the office. And there were some write-in votes that just weren't valid.
And with all this early voting, is there any sense that they're coming from students? Because I think there was a big push to get them voting early before spring break.
The Illini Union was our busiest early voting location. It was never so busy that it had a significant line. We were able to handle the voter load there very easily. It was our busiest early voting location with about 1,300 votes cast. As best we can tell, because we don't track whether a registered voter is a student or not, it looks like the 10 precincts that comprise the University of Illinois campus have had about 600 or 650 votes cast total so far.
I'm getting a reminder here on the text line that there are a couple of write-in candidates in the 51st State Legislative District on the Democratic side. There's a write-in candidate also on the 4th Judicial Appellate Court on the Republican side.
There are, and I'm not going to mention the candidates' names because I traditionally don't mention candidate names when I'm doing media appearances as the county clerk. I don't want to promote a write-in candidate over somebody else, and so we'll just let the voters know that there are write-in options available, and if the voter wants, they can ask the election judges actually for a list of the valid write-in candidates just to make sure they get the spelling close enough that it can be counted.
All right, so if you are headed out to vote and you are concerned in those particular races about who you vote for and that they might not be on the ballot, just ask your election judge. They will help you out. So, Gordy, anything else you think would be important for us to know as we proceed through the day?
The polls are open everywhere until 7 o'clock tonight. And if you don't know where to go vote, you can go to our website, ChampaignCountyClerk.com/VI for voter information. Look yourself up and it will tell you exactly where to go vote and it will give you copies of your sample ballots.
And also a reminder that if you're in line, if you get in line at 6:59...
you can vote, absolutely. Everybody in line at 7 o'clock gets to vote. I don't think we're going to see any lines today.
Yeah, it's just not that type of election, but probably should be, because this is just as important as the general elections that come in November, right?
Well, we like to say that the low turnout elections, your vote counts that much more.
Yeah, the proportion of it.
And especially this one. If you've ever gotten to the November ballot and lamented the choices that face you, as so many voters do, this is the election where you get to have some voice in what those choices are in the November election. So it's very important to vote.
Thanks, Gordy. Appreciate your time. I know we'll talk to you tonight during our election coverage.
Thank you.
Gordy Holton is Champaign County Clerk. And speaking of our election coverage, we'll get you an update at 6 o'clock tonight. And then our coverage will begin in earnest at 7 o'clock. We may be just chiming in at starting at 7 as news develops of election. And then when the results start coming in earnest and we have more folks that we are talking to, we'll have more what we would call wall-to-wall coverage. We do have quite a few folks that we'll be talking to throughout the evening. Tom Kasich, of course, from the News Gazette. Chris Mooney from the University of Illinois are some of the folks we'll be talking to. We want to talk to winners. Tim Dittman will be at Brookins Administrative Center tonight where all the results are coming in, and also some of the players will be. We'll also be hoping to be talking to some of the folks over the phone as well. I'll be here in studio along with Michael Kaiser and Carol Varell will be steering the ship behind the scenes tonight. By the way, it'll be Carol's final election as she will be bidding adieu to us and retiring in the first week of April. So many thanks goes out to Carol Varell for all of her great work through the years. All right, we're off and running here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Election day it is, but there are other things to talk about as well. Certainly open to any direction you might want to go. Weigh in at 356-9397, and you can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Also, you can email us talk@wdws.com. We're back after this.
Let's get to some news here. It just came out, you guys, that Trump's Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, was on the toilet when he found out Trump fired him on Twitter. Then Trump said, well, what a coincidence. I was on the toilet when I tweeted that. So basically, we talked to each other.
Do Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show last night. Welcome back, everybody, to A Penny for Your Thoughts. Scott Beatty here, filling in for Brian Barnhart. Open line, carrying you until 10 o'clock. And then Bruce Knight will be in from the city of Champaign. And we'll see what is on the horizon for developments in the city. If you've got questions for him, he's open to taking them. And you got anything you want to talk about on your mind here today? 356-9397 is the number to call. You can also text us at 351-5357. That's the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. On the subject there of firings, and of course Andrew McCabe, the latest firing as well that came from the Trump administration. I'm curious because I know there is, I listened to the program, of course. I know there's quite a few Trump supporters in our audience. And I'm wondering if your confidence in the president has changed over this last period, especially the turmoil that's gone on in the administration. Or maybe you don't see the see it as turmoil. Maybe you see that as spin of turmoil. I guess it depends on how you see it all. All these firings, does that cause you to question what the president is doing and how he's handling things? Or is it maybe been boosted? I'm curious to know, especially if there's been a Trump supporter out there, if you were very confident in him when you voted for him in the election, and if that has decreased over this period of time that he's been in office, or if you were skeptical about Trump and you've now become more of a fan, a supporter of what he's doing. I'm curious to see how people's views have changed over this period here. So welcome that. But of course, it's an open line, and we can go any direction you want here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Tomorrow on the program, we'll get some post-game coverage, if you will, of the election. And we will also talk with Sam Wheeler from the Lincoln Presidential Museum and Library out in Springfield. There's a new exhibit coming out about the four presidents from the state of Illinois, that being, of course, Grant and Obama and Lincoln and Reagan. So we'll hear about that new exhibit that's opening up soon. We go to the phones here on this open line, and it's Steve joining us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Before we start on this narrative that Trump fired all these people that CBS and me and Jimmy Fallon and these people try to put out, let's be honest. Barack Obama started the investigation into McCabe with his inspector general, and the inspector general recommended his firing as well as the people that the rank and file of the FBI. Trump did not have anything to do with the investigation or the firing. Thank you.
That's an interesting point. Steve, one question I have, though, is would you say, though, overall there's been a lot of firings and a lot of turnover in the administration?
I don't think it's any more than any others have. But it's just they're making it all about Trump because they didn't like, the left doesn't like that he got in there. This has been a joke from the beginning with the media, and specifically the CBS, NBC, ABC, and all this Russian baloney.
All right. Hey,
check out the facts about the FBI and what's been going on since Obama was elected. And it doesn't take a genius to figure it out.
Okay, appreciate it, Steve. 356-9397 is the number to call, and you can also weigh in on our text line. I also find it curious, though, there is, in a spirit of trying to support law enforcement and, you know, to, broadly speaking, I think both sides are supportive of law enforcement, and I'm certainly one that appreciates what law enforcement does, but there has been a turn to attacking the FBI and seeing them as kind of corrupt. And I'm wondering if, you know, is it different when it comes to the FBI versus your rank and file law enforcement that we find in our state police and local police and sheriffs and what have you? Because it's just generally politicians don't like to attack the police and those that protect us. So it's interesting how this has turned. But obviously at the top of the FBI, they're looking at some of the more political and national issues as opposed to, you know, the street level stuff in a way. And they're also looking at issues that affect us in security nationwide. Anyway, I'm speaking in broad terms, but I'd be curious to catch your thoughts on that as well. It's A Penny for Your Thoughts here on a Tuesday morning, Election Day. We can talk about that, the firings from the Trump administration, plenty of other topics to go as well. We're back with a check of news after this.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
There's big news on Facebook. Your cousin had a baby, and she's naming it Milo. Also, free will is an illusion. Because there's more news in the story of Trump campaign consulting firm Cambridge Analytica. That's a classy name. Cambridge Analytica. Not to be confused with their competitor, Oxford Think-em-ups. They're a big data firm, and it just came out that in 2014, when Cambridge Analytica was run by Steve Bannon, they exploited the Facebook data of millions by using personal information taken without authorization and used them to build psychographic profiles to help them figure out whether a particular voter was, say, a neurotic introvert, a religious extrovert, a fair-minded liberal, or a fan of the occult. Now, I consider myself both a neurotic introvert and a fan of the occult. Which is why I often summon Satan, but then I'm too shy to talk to him.
Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts, Stephen Colbert. Late night, last night. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday election day. Hope you are voting if you can. And reminder, you got free bus service to get to any polling place. It's an open line here till the top of the hour. And then Bruce Knight's coming in the next hour to talk about what is developing around the city of Champaign or what may develop and the visions there. And you can certainly weigh in or ask questions of Bruce as well. Let's get back to the phones and we go here to Mike. Good morning, Mike. I'm sorry. I just went to Eric. I skipped you, Mike. I'll come back to you, Mike. But here's Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Real quick, ever since it got just to where you take Saturday Night Live along with it, you know, Fallon, Kimmel, Colbert, you know, I don't watch those. And so when I turn the radio program in the morning, it's like, you know, you force it right through the airwaves. I really would appreciate not doing that. That's all I've got for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I was doing it more as a...
It isn't funny. It's a local material you could totally fill your airwaves with. Anyway, that's my take. Take care. Have a good one.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for weighing in. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, just having some funnies this morning. Here's Mike. Good morning, Mike.
I'm laughing. I thought it was funny. We live in America. You know, if he wants to listen to Rush all the time, he can put it on that channel. I like to listen to everything. But my question is, they just announced that we're... deficits went to $21 trillion. Never in the history of our country we've ever been that high. $21 trillion we're in debt. It seems like people are forgetting about that. I know there's supposed to be a lot of conservatives out there, but that is scary. And we're writing a lot of checks to China. And somebody, you know, better use common sense and wake up. $21 trillion is ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like we're always carrying around a deficit or debt these days, and we're always being warned about the problems with it. Same for the state of Illinois as well, and it's caused problems. It's, you know, I'm not an economist. I don't know, when does the other shoe fall and we finally are going to pay our consequences ultimately for it, but it's not a good thing ultimately to be running a deficit. I suppose there's times when you have to. But.
No, it's not, and then they're talking about spending the money on the wall. And the thing with the wall, I don't want the wall. Unless Mexico was going to pay for it, yeah, I'll go ahead and build it. But the reason I'm not for it, because Trump's done a good job enforcing the law, and then he's up border control, and now they got the drones, and the drones are awesome because there's a lot of places you couldn't put a fence up anyway. And the drones do the job, but if they want to take money and give it to something, here's a good example. Give it to people that need it on Social Security. I was in Macy's the other day, and a gentleman, 80 years old, was in there applying for a job because he needed to make a little extra money. Now, we need to take care of our citizens, and there's something wrong in the greatest country in the world, but we have that. We got our priorities wrong. We need to go back to the basics. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Mike. 356-9397 on an open line this morning. Brian is up next. Good morning, Brian.
How you doing, Scott?
No complaints. It's a good day.
I'm hanging in there. I was just wanting to kind of join in with the caller before the previous caller. All the people like Colbert and everybody, they're going after Trump now because of the report about this Cambridge Analytica. People seem to forget that Obama was praised by the New York Times a few years earlier for using metadata. I mean, he was getting data from everywhere to run his campaign, his reelection and stuff like that. And he was probably doing far more worse than this. So
probably, or you know?
Really, it's in the New York Times article. More than likely, he was doing far more than this. And he was, the NSA under him, they were data mining everybody. So if Trump was wrong, Obama was far worse. And I don't hear that balance coming out of the news, from the News Gazette. I don't hear it coming out of, well, I don't hear it coming out of CBS or CNN or anything. I don't, out of the mainstream media, there's no balance. If Obama does it, it's fine. If Trump did it, I don't even know if Trump actually used it. There's no actual evidence that he used this data. So, but the thing is, they're trying to say that we were manipulated by the Russians to vote for Trump and against Hillary. I'm sorry, a dead dog could have beat Hillary. There's no way. The only reason why I voted for Trump was because of Hillary.
Yeah, that
Trump was saying stuff I wanted. There's no way I wanted Hillary. And it wasn't from everything on Facebook. It's from the stuff Hillary Clinton said.
I agree with you 100% there. There were a lot of voters that were either very pro-Trump or very anti-Hillary Clinton, and that's why they voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, Russia had nothing to do with my vote. And for the previous caller talking about taking care of our citizens, I'm not trying to jump subjects too much. I apologize. But, you know, not building the wall. Trump doesn't want to build a wall across the entire border, but just where it's needed in certain areas. But the thing is, we can do a lot to help our citizens here just by defunding Planned Parenthood, cutting off all aid to the Palestinian Authority, because practically all the money we go to the Palestinian Authority, they use to attack Israel with. And there's a lot of areas where we could save up a bundle of money to help our own.
Appreciate you weighing in, Brian.
All right, you guys take care. Have a great one.
Thank you. 356-9397. Yeah, there's no doubt that President Obama was first to really utilize social media to create a grassroots campaign, and I think it caught some of the traditional campaign managers off guard a little bit, because it wasn't utilized the way he was. And I mean, I've even been in various media roles in my life where, I mean, it's pretty simple. If you want to promote something on Facebook and you want to put some dollars behind it, you can sort of target where you want it to go. Okay. You know, if you're looking for somebody who lives in central Illinois who likes baseball, and you could probably figure that out from my Facebook profile and things I've clicked on or put out there, and wouldn't be hard for an advertisement for baseball to show up. In fact, that's come up before, various types of things like hitting academies. You know, I don't have a kid who's interested in that yet, but all of a sudden I'm getting this quote relevant. And obviously you go on any websites and you see some ads that pop up and they are connected to something maybe you searched for recently on Amazon or another online retailer. So it's not hard to pull out that data and provide strategic targeted stuff. So I'm not shocked to find that data's been mined to use for people's advantage. On to Henry on an open line. Good morning, Henry.
Yeah, hey, Scott. You just stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry about that.
Data mining's been going on for a long time through Google and its association with federal government, or at least the weaponized part of federal government under Obama. But so, like you, I'm not surprised that this is happening. I wish it wasn't. And I don't do Facebook, and for a good reason, and that's one of the big reasons I don't. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Gary Johnson, who is a libertarian. But go back, not to the previous caller, but the caller before. I think it might have been Michael. His outrage over the $21 trillion reflects my outrage, too, but I believed I saw numbers before Trump actually took office, and the national debt was like a little over $20 trillion already before Trump even became president and started enacting some of his policies. And I think maybe you remember this. There was about an 18-month period when the national debt was somewhere around, it was like $14 or $15 trillion, when it was kind of like frozen for 18 months. And I don't know what was up with that, but I have a funny feeling.
Are you talking years ago?
Higher than $21
trillion. Yeah, but I mean, when? Do you remember when that was?
I think it was somewhere in during a second term, and it was so it must have been, let's see, the second term started in 12, so it must have been sometime around 2013, when it was around 14 trillion or 15 trillion, and it was stuck there for like 18 months. And it's like, well, I was thinking, what's going on here? And a lot of people are asking about that, and then it started up again, and the next thing you know, it's like 18, 19, 20. And then there wasn't a whole lot that was talked about it at that point because I think it became an acceptable sin or something. I don't know. That's huge. And the unmanded, the unfunded mandates, that's what it is. That's like 200 and something trillion dollars for, basically a welfare state, really.
Yeah.
It's really incredible the amount of debt that we've accumulated as a nation. Even before Obama, but especially under Obama.
Appreciate the call, Henry.
Yeah, you bet. Bye-bye.
It's an open line here on Penny. Got a couple callers waiting on, and we will get to you on the other side of this break. Back on an open line here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Scott Beatty filling in for Brian Barnhart. Phone lines are hopping right here. We'll pick up the pace a little bit, but here's Ted. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Scott. I got a kick out of you playing Colbert. I don't watch those shows either, but after you played Colbert, you led in with a song from Hall & Oates, Out of Touch, and I go, wow, that's so true. They're out of touch. And as far as the national debt, $21 trillion, you got to look at the trade deficit. I think it's $500 million a year, and we owe China $3 or $5 trillion. So trade deficit, but yet whenever it got attempted to be turned over with these unfair trade acts, the liberals were just crying wolf. Oh, God, we can't do that. And as far as the 80-year-old man, God bless him, I guess we just need to bring in more illegal aliens and put, I think, what is it, like 90% of them are on public aid. So move on over to Urbana to the guy who called in. Who likes these sanctuary cities, move on over there to that part of town.
All right.
And that's all I can say. And thank you for the Hall & Oates, because the liberals are definitely out of touch.
So Ed Bond's in control of the music, so that must be him countering anything going on. But I appreciate it, touche. And I was just playing clips, by the way. I'm not trying to subconsciously promote an agenda here. I was just... thought some lighthearted material here on this election day otherwise. Okay, up next, it's Danny. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Scott. A couple comments on the debt. When George W. Bush left office, the national debt was $10 trillion plus a few billion. I don't know exactly what it is. When Obama left office, it was right at $20 trillion plus. But that $10 trillion showed all the national debt for all the presidents up to and including Bush from day one. This, under Obama, he more than doubled that. And now you've got, and Democrats didn't say a thing about it during that period of time. Now you got everybody raising Cain about Trump doing a one-something trillion budget. So if anybody out there's got one eye and half sense, they can see that we're in this position we're in today because of Barack Obama as president. That's all I got to say. Have a great time. and I'll talk at you later.
All right, we appreciate it, and that's what we do here, give you a chance to talk at us here on an open line for a penny for your thoughts. Bruce Knight from the city of Champaign, he's in charge of planning and development, is coming our way in the 10 o'clock hour. And now it is John. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, here's the thing is, everybody's blaming this on President Obama. If you go back to the Nixon administration coming forward, everybody had set an agenda with all of these countries, and special China, and President Reagan would tell you if he was alive, every president will set the agenda for anywhere from 1 to 10 years helping everybody else. By the time the debt adds up, that president that's in office will capitalize on that debt, and the debt is his. People, it wasn't President Obama. It was the United States of America. We did this. We got our politicians. They did this, and we found somebody to blame it on. You're blaming President Obama because he's the president in office. Everybody will set a debit. President Trump had already set bills now for the next 10 years in certain things. 10 years from now, a lot of us ain't going to be here. There's going to be another debt. You can't blame President Obama for everything. You know, the man, if you don't work with him, how is the country going to work? There's two things that hurt this president. When Nancy Pelosi said, pass it and we'll find out what's in it later. But when Mitch McConnell said, we're going to make him a one-term president, that turned the world upside down. You can't blame President for what America's doing. He's trying. He was trying. But I tell you what, Trump will turn the world upside down. So y'all can have at it.
All right.
He's the president. Just enjoy it.
All right. I appreciate you weighing in as well, John, on an open line. I agree in extent that I think most politicians like to jump on the previous office holder in whatever way is to their advantage. If they felt they built something up, they want to kind of ride that. If they didn't like how things are running. And also, if something suddenly changes for the positive, I think there's a temptation for politicians to claim it was them, even if it was previous policies or the momentum that was started with a previous administration or whatever. So I think that's has been going on since the start of politics, probably. All right, one more here before we take a break, and it is Tony. Good morning, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What are your thoughts today?
Well, my thoughts are, why is it so hard to adopt a child in this country? These people who are against abortion, it's harder to get a baby than to get a gun. And I'm against abortion, too. But, like, can you imagine what this country would be like if we didn't have abortion with all these unwanted children? And, you know, that Lamb guy who won in Pennsylvania in the district that was really Republican? The reason he even got the run is because the Republican that he was replacing resigned because he was anti-abortion, but yet got his mistress pregnant and was encouraging her to get an abortion. So these Republicans are all anti-abortion until their mistresses get pregnant, and then they'll be the first one down to the abortion clinic. But my whole thing is, why do politicians never talk about adoption? We should need to make it so much easier in this country. We talk about guns all the time, but these babies need homes. And if you want to say you're anti-abortion, come up with a plan where we can adopt easier, because then people would go for it. But there's already so many unwanted kids now. Can you imagine what would happen if there was illegal, if abortion was illegal? That's my thoughts.
All right. Appreciate you weighing in, Tony. I got to admit, I don't know a whole lot about adoption law and all that, but I do agree 100% with the sentiment that it's not just about caring for the unborn. It's also caring for the born. And I'm of the personal belief that both carry a lot of weight. So you really can't really have one without the other. And both valid causes to care about. But I think, yeah, if you just want to sort of crusade on one without thinking through the other and being a part of solution on both, then I think that's problematic. All right, we're running a little short here on time, so Don and Dave, we'll have some more open line at the bottom of the next hour if you want to come back to us. Certainly don't want to shortchange you, and appreciate everybody's passionate thoughts here in an open line. Don't know what you're going to get sometimes. And it's been spirited here in this first hour. I want to let you know that tomorrow we'll have another open line also in the 9 o'clock hour. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Sam Wheeler from the Lincoln Presidential Museum and Library about a new exhibit coming up. And just found out that Jennifer Hayne Tepper is going to join us at 10:30 tomorrow. She's a preservationist over at the U of I. If you have a question about something that you want to preserve, something of sentimental value or maybe even more, she can help you with that. So you can weigh in with your questions on that. We've got CBS News and local news in just a moment. And Bruce Knight here from the city of Champaign. It's Penny for your thoughts on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Filling in for Brian this morning is Scott Beatty.
Glad to be with you, and welcome back for hour number two of A Penny for Your Thoughts. Our guest here is Bruce Knight. He's in charge of planning and development for the city of Champaign. And talk with him a bit here about what is coming our way in the city. And you can chime in as well if you've got a question for Bruce about what things may be developed, may come to fruition here. Bruce, good morning. Thanks
good
for
morning.
Being with us. Now, I just kind of said it. You're in charge of planning and development, right? So I don't know if that's a fair way to put it. What's your official title?
I'm the planning and development director for the city of Champaign. I've been for 29 years.
But in fact, you direct it, but you actually are implementing plans that are put in place by city council, right?
Right. The mayor and council set policy direction for the city of Champaign, and staff's job is to carry that out. My department specifically has three areas where we're doing that. We do long-range planning for the community, so we've got a comprehensive plan, area studies for portions of the city like the Curtis Road Interchange area. We do land development, so we work with developers that come in and work them through our regulations, make sure their developments are consistent with our long-range plans. And then we do economic development for the community. So we're working with different agencies. We're working with proposals for projects that come to our community that grow our tax base, grow the number of jobs. I'm currently the chair of the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation. So we work a lot with EDC and the Small Business Development Center there as well.
And in your free time, you eat?
Try and do a little of that.
Bruce Knight is here with us. I want to start with the hockey arena that may or may not come to fruition in downtown Champaign as part of this development over by the Illinois Terminal. The study came out that the U of I was a part of with the NHL that, hey, what do you know, hockey could work in this community. We're just waiting for some money, apparently. A couple weekends ago, I was with the U of I baseball team in Greenville, South Carolina. Beautiful downtown. And the ballpark is a part of the kind of the downtown area. And people said 20 years ago, this was kind of put in place to kind of help spur the development of downtown. And they said 20 years ago, this place was not a place you want to be. Well, now it's all boutiques and upscale shops and restaurants and downtown hotels right on a river with the falls and
yeah,
a beautiful
it's
park.
It's gorgeous.
You've been there. Okay.
I have been, yeah.
So it worked. I've also spent time in minor league baseball in Gary, Indiana. They have a beautiful ballpark in downtown Gary. I know it's a different city, but downtown Gary never came back the way they were hoping it would be. I know there's an arena in Bloomington Normal, and I don't know how somebody in your position would assess how that's done, but I felt kind of mixed about when I've been over there to that arena for events about what is around it. So all that to say, Champaign, the downtown area, is already pretty vibrant right now. What would an arena do? And, you know, is there any hesitation to think that this might be the best thing for this area?
So, you know, I think that the benefit of that entire development, which is a mixed-use development, include office, residential, hotel conference center, and then if the university goes ahead with D1 hockey, it would include an arena. the beauty of both the hotel and the well, really of all those uses, as they is they bring in people at different times that support. We've got 44 locally owned bars and restaurants in our downtown area. You know, they if you look at our food and beverage tax on a quarterly basis, the first and the fourth quarters are generally much less productive than the second and third quarters. Downtown summer months.
This is the calendar year? Right,
this
okay.
This is the calendar year. So one of the things that an arena and the Hotel Conference Center does is it brings more people down here to fill in those gaps and ensure a more consistent revenue stream for those businesses. We know that as much as 50% of the revenue that comes into those businesses comes from hospitality and destination tourism. So strengthening that across the year improves their business. And one of the beautiful things about a locally owned business is when money goes into that, it stays in the local economy. All of it stays in the local economy, and that's really good for the city and for the strength of our local economy.
Have you seen instances, though, where it hasn't worked? And is it because of the nature of it or because they didn't set it up the right way and how things are run?
So I think the key is that it has to be interconnected, it has to be walkable, and feel like part of the downtown. I think one of the struggles with the Bloomington Arena, for example, while it's close to downtown, it's kind of out on the edge and it's separated by major roads, and so it feels kind of isolated out there. It doesn't feel like it's part of the downtown. In our case, we see it as an important connection not only to downtown but to Midtown and Campustown as well. So it becomes a kind of pivotal link that ties those all together and draws people from all parts, and then feeds back into the businesses in those other areas as well.
Some are run ultimately by cities. Some are run privately. What would be a best case?
Well, I think in this particular case, we're probably looking at one that'll be run privately, that the university would be a tenant in. They'd be the primary tenant in it. All those details are yet to be worked
sure.
out. You know, I think while this project is very exciting, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to be worked out. You've got the city involved, you've got the mass transit district involved, you've got the university involved potentially, and then you've got a private developer that is kind of the linchpin of making it all happen. So a lot of work to be done, but I think the project becomes sort of the next tipping point project to take downtown to another level.
Bruce Knight is with us. He's head of planning and development for the city of Champaign. This isn't being suggested, obviously, because with the university being a primary tenant, the locations that have been thrown out there have been either here in downtown Champaign or on the south end of campus by the rest of the athletic facilities. But if something came along and somebody said, yeah, we want to put it out at the Curtis Road interchange or somewhere else on the outskirts of town near an interstate exit, for example, would that work?
You know, I think that depending on what was going to be in there, it could potentially work. But I do think that having it near existing commercial services is beneficial. You know, both locations have their relative merits to them. We ultimately said that's a DIA decision. You know, where should the arena go? And once they decide where it should go, then we're going to work with them to try and help make it happen. The key is that this downtown location is actually closer to more of their students than the South Campus location. That's more walkable. There's more amenities nearby. And one of the things we like about it is it helps clean up kind of a brownfield site that was the old Marco Steel recycling
mm-hmm.
Property. So that's an advantage to it as well.
Bruce Knight is here with us. He is head of city development and planning for the city of Champaign. I want to talk to you about what may come on Neal Street. Well, we need to step aside for a moment. We'll get to that when we come back. It's a penny for your thoughts. 10:24 on a penny for your thoughts. Scott Beatty back with you, and Bruce Knight is here from the city of Champaign. He heads up planning and development. We talked about the hockey arena potential for it in downtown Champaign. Want to switch to Neal Street corridor? Big article on Saturday's News Gazette about what could happen just a bit north of where we're sitting right now. Proposal is in the works, and the city's going to talk about it on the 29th. Right there next. That's a Thursday meeting?
Yeah, there's a public meeting Thursday the 29th intended to just give the community another chance to provide input. We've got a preferred scenario that's been put together now that proposes a number of things to beautify the corridor, to improve safety in the corridor. One of those is to actually narrow it to three lanes of traffic.
Two-way?
Yeah. So you'd have northbound and southbound lane and a center turn lane in that particular case. A lot of studies have shown that three lanes of traffic in that design configuration can handle as much traffic as four lanes, but at slower speeds and with a greater degree of safety because it reduces weaving and turning conflicts and those kinds of things that occur. That will also create space to be able to do more beautification in the corridor. You know, right now there's not enough right-of-way to work in to be able to really do much beautification to the corridor. And it's a very important entryway to our community, so we'd like it to make a statement as people come in.
Really, it is. A lot of people come off of the Neal Street exit from 74 down. And you mentioned the speed. Whenever I come that way, I don't think of it as the quickest way to get south. It's just this is the straight line to where I need to go.
Yeah, that's we've done traffic studies and modeling on what might happen. The biggest impact is in the AM peak hour at the Bradley Avenue intersection. You might end up having to wait through more than one signal to get through that. It results in, a little over a minute of additional delay potentially. You know, we think that's a reasonable trade-off to improve safety and to beautify the corridor.
I have a texter weighing in here, and I don't quite catch the reference, but, $100,000 facelift, I see, as part of what it is. And Dale's asking, what would that really cover? Is it planting a few trees?
Yeah, the cost of the implementation of the study will likely be more than that. Would be minimal improvements. You could do some landscaping with that and other things, but if we're going to alter curb lines, if we're going to, do more, it'd be more expensive. That'll all be estimated out as part of completion of the study once the council signs off on the preferred alternative.
All right. So if council does that, best case scenario for a timeline for completion?
There will be things that would be able to be done fairly quickly and then things that'll take longer. And so the implementation plan for that will lay out, what are the quick fixes that we can get done right away and make gains. What do we need to work into our 10-year capital improvement plan and schedule for the future?
I suppose your life, you're driving around town and you go, I want to fix that. I want to see this different. I want to see that. And how much in your job are you wanting to snap your fingers and make things happen? And there might be things that you hope to see happen that probably couldn't by the time you're done with your career, right?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. One of the things you learn as somebody working in a urban planning profession is patience, because things take time. They don't happen overnight. There's never enough money to do everything all at once. The city does every year update its 10-year capital improvement plan, and we work projects into that based on a set of prioritization criteria. So, we schedule these things as money and staff time to implement them is available, and it does take time.
Yeah, indeed. Well, there might be things that come about in 10, 15, 20 years that you had a hand in, but somebody else will be taking the credit, right?
Well, yeah, realistically, one of the nice things about having, been here as the planning director for 29 years is, we've seen things happen. When I came here downtown Champaign was a place that, you know, after people got off of work, nobody hung around. It didn't feel very comfortable down here at night. We've made, you know, great strides in rejuvenating downtown Champaign and you know, continue to see progress in that area. You know, there's just been a lot of projects that over time have come to pass. You know, Curtis Road interchange area is another example of that, that, you know, that interchange was planned 35, 40 years ago. And, you know, took that long to finally get built and now to see development start to happen.
Well, we appreciate you taking a sliver of your time then here with us today. We got to go to the news, but Bruce Knight, best of luck going forward. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Bruce Knight from the city of Champaign, Michael Kaiser with news here at 10:30 on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts. It's Scott Beatty filling in, and by the way, if you don't know, most days you can find me on at 4 o'clock for the news hour. And 5 o'clock Tuesdays through Fridays for sports talk. So working both ends of it today. We were supposed to have Illinois baseball this afternoon, but that got postponed because of the cold temperatures. So then that being rescheduled for Wednesday, the 4th of April against ISU. So we'll have our normal afternoon programming today. And then election coverage begins a little bit at 6 o'clock and more in-depth at 7 o'clock. And we will keep you up to date. Hope you get out to vote today. We have an open line here the rest of the way. 356-9397 is the number to call. We were talking about all sorts of things in the 9 o'clock hour. So let's go back to the phones. It's Don. Good morning, Don.
Hey, how you doing, man? Good job today, dude.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks much.
Yeah. Well, I like it when John calls. He calls and says, you can't blame the president. Can't blame the president whenever somebody tries to say something happened under Obama's watch. And then he goes and blames the president. You know, Donald Trump turned this country upside down. But, I mean, it's just it's crazy politics, you know, like the Erica Herald commercial. She's bad for Illinois. That's ridiculous. We all know better than that. But the reason I called, I just want to say, and I'm going to keep this real simple. Okay? This is real simple. The NRA literally does not kill people. Planned Parenthood, however, literally does. Just let that one sink in for a bit.
All right. A thought there from Don. Appreciate it. Thanks much. Next up, Zoe. Good morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Scott. It's nice to hear you on today.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'm having a sad day. I just had to have my dog put down.
Oh.
I wondered if I could give my phone number if anybody knows of a nice housebroken dog, not too old a dog, but not a pup, not a little pup, not a very young puppy either. And if I could give my number, it's 356-0335, and my big thing, it has to be housebroken. That's my big thing.
Okay.
I've got a little hole in my heart right now, actually.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, we've adopted a couple of cats from the Humane Society. You know, that might be a place where you could find a friend, too. Sometimes they have older dogs there, too.
I'm, you know, hoping somewhere. I just thought if I could. And then also, I called to say I would ask people if they would please get out and vote for Jeannie Ives because she can win. And we need her vote, and the Ronner campaign has lied about her. I can't believe the lies in the commercials. They're just smearing, and they take little splices of things she said and splice them together. I think a lot of people catch on to that, but nowadays, but it's pretty, it's just pretty evil. And so, just please, everybody, get out and vote for Jeannie. So
all right.
That's all I have. Thank you, Scott.
Sorry to hear about your dog. I hope you find a new companion.
Well, thank you. And again, it's 356-0335. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Anyone else wants to give out their own phone number? You can. You're probably doing it at your own peril, but maybe you'll make a new friend as well. We're on an open line here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We get one more here. It's Bill. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. All right. Good job, Scott.
Thanks.
When I hear people say, well, it can be an economic benefit to the family and society that abortions are available, I'm always reminded of reading history and a lot of ancient civilizations, in order to appease their gods, ensure economic prosperity, and basically to rid themselves of extra mouths to feed, often sacrifice children and babies to their gods, usually by throwing them into fire. So I can't get past that fact. To me, it's one of the worst arguments for if you're pro-choice is economic reasons. And that really, that just doesn't make sense to me at all. So I just want to throw that out there for you.
All right. Thanks for weighing in. It's an open line, and I better get to a break or Edmond's going to come in here and throw me off the air. We'll be right back on A Penny for Your Thoughts. All right. Welcome back to A Penny for Your Thoughts, an open line here the rest of the way. I'm Scott Beatty filling in for Brian Barnhart, and we have Richard on the air. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Scott. Good to hear your voice. I love Brian, and I thought I would call in with a little political information. I want to encourage, and I agree with the young lady who called in earlier, I'm going to go out and vote for Jeannie Ives. And I would like to encourage a lot of Democrats to cross over just for this election. I don't think anybody's going to defeat Pritzker. And I want to see Jeannie get in because I think that she actually will be good for the state. But I want to talk about Pritzker, who is talking about increasing, having a progressive tax on the wealthy. And I did a little research last night, and I'd like to share it with you. I'll try to keep it short. There are only 17 billionaires in the state. Pritzker is actually a number, I think he's number four, and he's worth $3.5 billion. That's $3.5 thousand million. And it's a lot of money. And if he were to get all of the billionaires in the state to cough up, the guy that has the most has $9.1 billion. If he gave 40% and you went down to those who have less than $2 billion and only took like 22% of their net worth, not their income, but their net worth, that would net $15.64 billion in taxes. And with that, Mr. Pritzker could pay off all of the debt of Illinois, and he could turn the state around. And I don't think any billionaire would be hurt by that kind of taxation, one-time taxation. They still have plenty of capital to make more money.
Hmm.
And I'd like to see that happen.
That's interesting.
That
you could
really
sort of
help the state.
You could sort of do a GoFundMe for the state of Illinois from billionaires.
Yes, that's about what we're in debt, Scott, and it's killing our state. And he can't create jobs, not with the taxation. We're the worst tax. Worst managed state of the 50 in this country, and I'd like to see it turn around.
Thanks, Richard. I got to keep moving. Appreciate you weighing in. Sorry to cut you off. There was nothing personal there. Okay, Dave, you're up. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Scott. Hey, I just wanted to address real quick. Two days ago in the paper, or yesterday in the paper, Worrell, who's running for sheriff, made some pretty bold accusations against his opponent, Alan Jones, for sheriff, and I thought it was very unbecoming of him as a candidate to do that, especially for the office he's running for, as sheriff, to accuse his opponent and his opponent's supporters of theft of yard signs for. So, but anyways, I was happy to see that Alan responded to that today in the paper. If anyone gets a chance to read that, not that anyone was probably persuaded by Worrell, but I just thought it was really, really a disturbing thing that a guy running for sheriff would just publicly accuse somebody of theft, whatever theft of a yard sign would be, that type of a crime. I just thought that that was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, there is a pretty thorough really letter to the editor in the front section of today's News Gazette. So I appreciate bringing that up because I think it was important that, that one said what he said and the other responded. And so kind of both sides are out there for you to take that into consideration as you go to the polls today. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, appreciate it. Don't have time to go into that letter to the editor right now, but encourage you to read that as well as the preceding one as well. We step aside. We're back in a moment on A Penny for Your Thoughts.
And in financial news, billionaire investor Warren Buffett is facing some criticism after saying in a recent interview, quote, "You will not be way happier if you double your net worth." Spoken like someone who has $90 billion. right. He's partially right. Happiness does not come from net worth. It comes from the things you can buy because of your net worth.
It's been said that all I want is a chance to prove that money can't buy happiness. That's from James Corden on the Late Show last night, and somebody calling in about Pritzker's plan on progressive taxes for the rich. And John in Camargo says, it's funny that Richard, one of the previous callers, is willing to spend 40% of someone else's money. I wonder if he has donated 40% of his. Probably not. Well, I think his point was that some people can afford to give up 40% of their money and not have it alter their life very much. I think for most of us, that would be a different story. All right, I came across this item about coffee. And according to the National Coffee Association, they polled 3,000 U.S. adults, revealing the following. 64% say they drink coffee daily. That's up from 62% who said the same last year. But here's the kicker to me. 79% said they had a cup of coffee at home the previous day. So 64% of people say they drink it every day, and 79% say they had coffee yesterday. There's 15% of people right there that don't know what's going on. We're back in a moment on Penny. Finish line in sight here for this Tuesday edition of Penny for Your Thoughts. Scott Beatty in for Brian Barnhart. Thanks for a spirited conversation today. Couldn't get to all of the texts that rolled in, but appreciate everyone weighing in. Our guest, Bruce Knight from the city of Champaign as well. Gordy Halton stopped by in the first hour. Ed Bond has been our producer engineer. And thank you, Ed, for keeping me and my head straight here. We'll do it again tomorrow, an open line in the 9 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock, Sam Wheeler from the Lincoln Museum. 10:30, Jennifer Hain-Tepper, a preservationist from the U of I. You can call her with your questions. The news is next. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.